The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. As always, it's a great joy to be with you, and just very grateful today for lots of reasons, and we're beginning this month of May, and the month of May is a reminder of new life, and after kind of a lot of storms of the past week and some major storms last weekend, it's just been a beautiful weekend, even just looking at the weather and the world outside around us. And we had our May crowning on Wednesday, and that's always a reminder to us that Mary is the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and that Mary is our mother. And as we hold up Mary as a model and an example, like one of the things I'd always heard about Mary is like, you have to be like Mary, and Mary just always did God's will. And that points to, you know, the words that she speaks at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel goes to her and says that you're going to be the mother of God. And she responds saying, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me. Let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be done to me." And really doing God's will and being like the Blessed Mother is more about letting it be done than doing. It's more about letting it be done than doing. And she's a model for fulfilling what Jesus says in the gospel today when he says, "Remain in my love." You know, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth says out loud those words that we pray every time we pray the Hail Mary prayer. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And she goes on to say, "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed are you who believed that the words spoken by the angel to you would be fulfilled." And Mary says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name." And Mary's response is this response of gratitude. And gratitude is something that wells up within us. And it's the response to being loved, right? It's the response to being loved. And if we really remain in our Lord's love, then our lives become lives of gratitude. Last week, I wrote in my bulletin article the relationship between Mary and John, the beloved disciple, and how at the end of our Lord's life, one of the last things he says is he says to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that moment, John took her into his home. And so John took this person into his home who is our model for remaining in the Lord's love. And what John writes in the scriptures that we read is constantly this message about being loved by God. That Jesus says, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love." In John's first letter in the second reading, he says, "It's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us." It's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And really, advancing in the spiritual life is about learning to be loved by God and learning to entrust our hearts to him and learning that he's the only person that matters, that he's our refuge, that we are called to be like children of God, like children who just run into the arms of their mother whenever they're in distress or whenever they're afraid. And we all knew how to do that as children, and then as we grow up, we forget. When we grow up, we become self-reliant, and we want to do things ourselves, and we forget that we can rely on people, and sometimes that's because of just small things that happen along the way and small ways that maybe people have broken our trust, or maybe someone was supposed to have been somebody that loved us, and they didn't love us very well. And they can just be these tiny things that are like 1,000 paper cuts, and then eventually we find ourselves in a place where our hearts don't really know how to remain in another's love. And that was something that our Lord like did very profoundly on my last retreat, was remind me of that. And I shared this at the ladies' lunch yesterday, but our Lord just kind of put on my heart to share it with everybody. So I went on a retreat about 2 weeks ago in Broomtree in South Dakota, and I started off retreat, and retreat is always like 4 holy hours a day, and I go to my first holy hour, and I just open up the scriptures to whatever passage I came to, and it was in Luke's gospel, and Jesus says, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who curse you, be good to those who mistreat you," and I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a good retreat." So I've got a lot of resentments built up. And our Lord has put some of those resentments, like he's just brought them to the surface recently. And so I sort of start off there. And so the first 2 days were really about forgiveness, but not just forgiveness, but actually loving these people. Not simply forgiving a debt, but loving people who haven't loved me well. And then I was meeting with my director, and my director, we were just talking about the ministry that I do and how I tend to do a lot of spiritual direction, and I do a lot of spiritual direction with people who have had very difficult lives. And she said, "You know, you feel like you have a lot of weight around you, like maybe you have some oppression or you kind of get slimed all the time." And then she started asking me, like, "Do you know any exorcists?" And I was like, "I'm not that bad." And then she started telling me about a particular priest that she knows, that she really trusts. And she mentioned his name, and he happened to be at the retreat center that week. And I said, "Oh, you mean the guy who's here?" And she goes, "He's here? He's not here." I said, "There's a folder with his name on it out there." And she was like, "Oh, you should ask him to pray with you." And then I'm like, "Ugh." So the next day, I never do this. I walk up to this priest and I was like, "My spiritual director mentioned you in spiritual direction yesterday, and she says I should ask you to pray with me." And he was like, "Okay." And then there's a woman that does ministry with him, and she was there too. And he goes and talks to her, and then we make an appointment for that night. And this has only happened to me maybe twice in my life, where I go to someone for prayer ministry, and really they just like pray. And there might be images that come to mind, and I've never had anything happen like this, where as they were praying over me, this woman had images coming to mind that were precisely what was going on in my life. Like, precisely. And like, one of those images was, she says to me, like, "Father, I just see you as a little boy who has, like, a heart, and your heart is filled with nails. It's like little things. Just little things that maybe people have said or experiences that you've had, or they're just really little, but they just filled your whole heart. And as you're walking towards the crucifix, It's like a magnet, and it's just pulling those nails really slowly. And Jesus says, I can't do it all at once, because if I do it all at once, it's going to hurt too much. And I'm like, that's the last 10 years of my life. That is so interesting. And then there's some other things. And really, like, what was probably most striking was at the end of this prayer session, she says, Father, there's just one more thing, and our Lord just keeps saying this, and I don't know if it makes any sense to you, but Jesus keeps saying, come fishing with me. And some of you might have heard me tell a story that I tell a lot when I give talks. And it's a story about one of those little things that caused a lack of trust in my own life. And it's my fishing story. And so then I was like, oh my, that's crazy. And the next day I went to my holy hour and I was like, okay, Jesus, we're going to go fishing. Because I have told this story hundreds of times, maybe 1,000. Every time I'm gone traveling, this story comes out. And it's an illustration that I use, but I've never prayed with it myself. And so I go into my holy hour and I'm praying. And so I go fishing with Jesus, and I'm like an 8-year-old kid, and in my imagination, I can see myself, and I'm on this boat with our Lord, and we're in the middle of a lake. And the story I always tell is that when I was 4, I went to my dad and I said, can we go fishing? And he said, when you're older. And so I got to be about 7 or 8, and I went to my dad and I said, am I older? And he looked at me funny. And I said, you said we'd go fishing when I'm older. And he was like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll go. And so I started imagining what that looks like. And it probably looks like you get up early in the morning, you're out on a lake all day, spending the day together. And the way it unfolded was my dad came home from work in the afternoon and said, we're going fishing, and kind of confused about how this is gonna happen. We get in the car and we drive toward a lake. And then we went to this fishing farm where they have wells, and they just like put the fish in the bottom of the well. And you drop in your fishing line, you pull out a fish. We were home in like 45 minutes. Fishing with my dad. And there's things we learn from those experiences, and they become lies that we carry. Like, dad doesn't think I'm good enough. And I remember the guy there, and he was like, the easy spot's here, and the medium spot's there, and the hard spot's over there. And my dad was like, we better do the easy one. And I also learned when dad says something, I have to lower my expectations. So fishing means well fishing, or vacation means the lake for the day. When we were young, my sister asked for a computer for Christmas. I pulled her aside. You're probably getting a typewriter. I was trying to protect her. And my father was trying to protect me. But in the process, there's these little nails. So I've told that story hundreds of times, and I've never prayed with it. So in my prayer, I'm sitting on this boat with our Lord, and I'm like this shy 8-year-old, and I just kind of asked him, like, where's my dad? And he was very gentle in explaining, you know, my dad's life and how he didn't really grow up with a father, and he went to a boarding school, and he didn't really know how to be a father, and he does his best. And then I asked him, what was my mother like? And our Lord just looked at me and he said, your mother loved you very much. And I started bawling. So my mother died when I was 2, and because of my father's grief, he never told me about her. And I had never heard those words from my father. And really, like, the wound I was carrying was that, and that whole fishing story, it turns out, was really about needing my father to tell me about my mother. And because he didn't, because of his own grief, because of whatever was going on, I was left with this feeling of like not being wanted or not being bonded with or like not having people or not belonging, which was all a lie. And it was like our Lord just stepped into that place and he gave me what I needed, or gave me what I didn't receive. He made up the difference. He made up the gap in my life. And it was like this wound, like, sealed up. And all of a sudden, like things are a lot more clear. And I'm like, oh, that's why I always would get mad at my pastors all the time. Or that's why, like, this or that or the other thing. Or authority's hard. Or it's hard for me to trust. And there's something new. Like there's something different that happens. And it increases our capacity to remain in his love. And it's something that happened slowly, and it happened because of lots of people. You know, for 10 years, my therapist has been like, you haven't grieved your mom. And I've been like, shut up, I don't know how to do that. Or like the parish secretary who tells me like, Father, I think you just don't clean up after yourself because you didn't have a mom. I'm like, that's probably true. So ever since retreat, I've been like picking up after myself. And just little things. And it's because of all those things that our Lord is able to heal. And it's really what he desires to do with all of us. It's what it means that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's what it means to be redeemed. It's what it means to be rescued. It's what it means to be ransomed. It's what it means when our Lord says, you belong to me or you are mine. And it's a pathway, and it's what he really desires for any of us who have those little kind of paper cuts in our hearts. That he can heal them, and he does desire to heal them. And when we go to him and ask him to give us what we didn't have, or we allow Mary to step in that place of a mother in our life, or we allow St. Joseph and our Lord to step in that place of a father in our life, they do make all things new. And as they do, we begin to live a life that's more full of gratitude. And so today, let us pray that we continue to grow in our capacity to be loved by our Lord, in our own surrender to the love of our Lord, that we always remain in his love, and that our hearts are filled with joy, and that we will say with Mary, the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.